Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. It doesn't get any better than that. Make sure you use code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with the guy who has all the answers, Mr. Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. I don't know that I'm glad for Penn State fans for what we have to talk about today, but I am prepared to give an autopsy on that game.
I will speak for the Penn State fans, and no, we are not happy. We are not over it yet. And we are not sure we want to talk about it, but that's what we do. There are some fans who want to hear, yes, go over the autopsy, so let's do it. Let's start with this, T. Frank.
Can I quickly, after the game, I do a post-game show, and I was trying to do my normal thing of, here's what happened and why, and I realized halfway through the show, no one wants an analytical breakdown on an ass-kicking. So hopefully a couple days later, once we've all had a time to digest this, we can get into some of that and understand the why. I find that's helpful. The why always helps me understand what happened and process my emotions.
And that is exactly what you are here for, T. Frank, to give us those answers. So let's start with this. Explain to us, first of all, exactly what Illinois was doing in their running game that was so unique.
So there was a couple of things that they were doing, and it was coinciding with a couple of really bad situations for Penn State. And I know that this comes off as an excuse, and I know that Penn State fans do not want to hear this, but without PJ Mustipher, the young defensive tackles up front for Penn State were not ready to play. And they were a major factor as to why all of these problems persisted. When you go out with six offensive linemen, two tight ends, or whatever it was, 1,000 people on the line of scrimmage, what you're saying is you're going to make every gap count, and you've got to cover every gap. And it's not the hardest strategy in the world, because all you have to do is simply that. Make every gap count, make the running back bounce, make him go laterally along the really long front, because that can also be a detriment to the offense if that guy keeps having to go laterally and not north-south. The problem was, no one was getting off blocks on the interior to force that to happen. And once it got to the perimeter of the offensive line, that's when you have Tariq Castro-Fields or Jair Brown, who's in deep coverage, having to tackle one-on-one in space. And that's, they didn't give up any, somebody pointed this out that I thought was really fair, they didn't give up any 70-yard touchdown runs, but they gave up a lot of 26-yard runs. They gave up a lot of 20 and 15 and 10, 6, 9. So that's one thing. And the defensive tackles allowing linebackers, or allowing the offensive linemen to get up to the linebackers with relative ease, was a problem, because it exacerbates what Brandon Smith is not good at. Brandon Smith plays in space. He needs to be clean so he can run downhill and hit things that he sees. He is exceptional at that. You saw even on the play on the reverse pass where he goes and he hits the passer of the football, I think it was a receiver, so that the ball falls short of the quarterback. He's phenomenal at closing in space and doing things like that. But when it comes to playing in the tackle box, he still is not up to speed. He still hasn't learned how to disengage from offensive linemen. And when he's getting those guys in his face every single play, then that's a problem. Also, Illinois, when they weren't going with their 1,000 people up front, they were pulling offensive linemen to the front of the play. And when you do that, the linebackers have to recognize that and get out front of the play and replace those gaps on the front side. Now, you can't over-pursue because if the running back cuts back, then you've got a problem. But you have to be on time to the point of attack. And the linebackers were not. Especially, again, not to single him out again, but Brandon Smith struggled in this area. But that's a team effort of the safeties have to fill. You have to have everyone in unison. And there were just too many leaky holes where Illinois was not challenged enough on any one consistent play type or one consistent front where they had to abandon that plan. They were successful in anything they did from time to time so they could keep going back to it. And really, it does start up front with the fact that the defensive tackles, in the base of their duty, could not perform that task. And when you've got Derek Tangelo playing nose tackle, you don't have that second guy up front being good against the run. You only had one guy playing out of position.
So we have Illinois bringing all the beef up front. You mentioned, the 6 offensive linemen. I think sometimes there was even 7 offensive linemen,
yeah.
2 tight ends, essentially no wide receivers at all. The question then becomes, what did Penn State do, the coaching staff? You see this. We all saw it. You certainly have to react to it. I mean, this is not your standard 5 offensive linemen and 3 wide receivers, and you're playing, a 4-3 defense. This is like a goal line stand type situation. So what did Penn State coaches do on defense to counteract what Illinois was doing?
So let's start with the understanding that Penn State's not going to play any defensive tackles or offensive linemen that are not ready to see the field. So the guys that you see on the field are the ones they feel are ready. And that's, again, where I defer to the coaching staff of the guys that coach these guys every day, that are the experts at this. And, I know that Penn State fans can be mad at times, but the track record of Brent Pry and John Scott Jr. at previous places is that they're good coaches. So I would defer to them to know that guys like Cole Brevard are not ready, or some of the other guys, the young guys like Fatorma Mulba are not ready yet. So the guys that played. They went as heavy as they possibly could. They had Smith Vilbert, who's 260 pounds, play in the game, more snaps than he's seen all season. They had Amin Vanover play defensive end. Again, another tackle end body type that came out on the field. And they put Jesse Luketa at linebacker from time to time. So they went heavy. But the defensive tackles, and again, this is so at a certain point, it becomes a little bit unfair because those guys were simply overmatched. And this was a problem that we knew coming into the season. And then it was exacerbated by the fact that the one guy who's 320 plus pounds is now done for the season. So the one key cog who almost never came off the field in the first month of the season is now no longer on the field and no longer an option. So they were just small up front. And Illinois hammered that. Now, again, on the flip side, they only gave up 10 points. So it wasn't like it was a... It wasn't like they just rolled over. They were still fighting the entire time. They still tried to make plays. But even from a tactical standpoint, they couldn't do some of the things they were doing with PJ Mustipher. And this is something I talked about on my show of you were doing some really intricate things up front with run stunting and run blitzing with your defensive tackles. PJ Mustipher would never line up in the gap he was covering every single play. He was all over the defensive line. And he was getting in the backfield because of that with penetration, good technique, strength at the point of attack. All of that's gone. And now you're playing with young guys that don't have the technique, the size, or the strength. So you have to limit what you do from a basic standpoint. But then later in the game, Brent Pry said, okay, we've got to try something. So they started going to those tactics they used with PJ Mustipher, and they didn't work either. So I will push back on the idea that Penn State didn't do anything to stop the run. They tried everything within the bounds of what they felt was reasonable. And, the defense did what they did on Saturday. I was still shocked by the way those guys were run on. But when you watch the film, it tells a certain story. And it's just that particular facet of the game was going to struggle no matter what. And Illinois, correctly out of their bye, hammered it.
I think what Penn State fans look at T. Frank and have as an issue is I look at Illinois and say they came in with a specific game plan after the bye that Penn, they made Penn State react to what they did.
Right.
And they did something, you know, typically you have maybe one tight end along with five offensive linemen, so six big guys. Illinois was saying, no, we're going to put nine big guys out there. And when you say Penn State was overmatched because they were missing one guy, granted, their best player along the defensive line, but you also look to Illinois is Illinois. They recruit as Illinois.
Yeah.
And on so that offensive side, line, Penn State.
That offensive line had, I believe, five or six 5th- and 6th-year seniors. It was a veteran group that know how to play football. And I know that Penn State fans don't want to hear that, but they were technically superior to the young guys up front. So it wasn't just a size advantage. It was also an experience advantage of they're good at running those systems. And Brett Bielema, that's his bread and butter. That is what he does. Also, to the point of they came out of this with this new package. Penn State didn't know that they were going to come out with that package. Now, it's not the first time this has happened to Penn State after a bye. So it's something they do have to be aware of going forward. The teams are going to play big on them when they can. But adjustments in game, I guess, is my point of, okay, we weren't expecting nine offensive linemen, but okay, here's what our plan is to counter that.
And I believe that's what's frustrating to the Penn State fans. It didn't feel like, and maybe you could answer this question for me, when they come out like that, the only thing I could compare it to is it's on the goal line. It's on the one-yard line, and the other team brings in all their beef. Sometimes, you know, like an offensive or defensive lineman is in the backfield as the fullback, and
right.
you see the defense come in with as much beef as they possibly can to stop what they know is the run. Did Penn State do anything like that, and should they have even done anything like that?
So, in hindsight, sure. Yeah, you can always look in hindsight and say, why didn't you put three defensive tackles on the field? Why wasn't Keziah Izzard lined up as a five technique? Why didn't you put, you know, and I to a point, I do agree with that because, again, you have one of the better secondaries in the nation, and that part of the game, when Illinois threw the ball, it was like a gift that they were deciding to do something different. So put bigger guys on the field, take off, you know, an ineffective secondary player. I don't know if you have to go down to one safety, but whatever it is, there is a case to be made for that. I guess that's the one thing. But again, they had four defensive tackles. So you put three of them on the field, you've got 75% of your defensive tackles on the field. You're getting into dangerous territory.
All right, that is it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to go to the other side of the ball and talk about Penn State's offense. Stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.